This is the South Storage Podcast, where we share the knowledge and skills from the industry's leading investors, developers, and operators to help you launch and grow your South Storage business. Your host, Scott Myers, over the past 18 years has acquired, developed, converted, and syndicated nearly 5 million square feet of South Storage nationwide. With the help of his incredible team at SouthStorageInvesting.com, who has helped thousands of people achieve greatness in South Storage.
Hi, I'm Doug, Scott's podcast producer. Scott is recalibrating after last week's Self Storage Academy in Mesa, Arizona. He'll have lots of great stories to tell when he's back with a fresh new episode on the 22nd. Meantime, this week, what we thought we would do is bring you one of our most downloaded episodes. It's episode 61, which published back in November of 2021. It's about filtering through new ideas and opportunities with Joey Murray and Russ Morgan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Self-Storage Podcast. I am your host, Scott Myers, and this week's guests are my good friends, Russ Morgan and Joey Muir from Wealth Without Wall Street. Joey Muir started in the mortgage business in 2003 and quickly became one of the nation's top mortgage lenders. But despite earning an impressive income, he still wondered how anyone can save aggressively for retirement and simultaneously pay for automobiles, college tuition for their kids, weddings, and vacations. Then in 2010, Joey met his future business partner, Russ, who shared the infinite banking concept, and suddenly everything changed. Infinite banking allowed Joey to get completely out of debt, and besides paying off his mortgage, he started saving four times the amount he had previously been saving, and finally had a clear plan of how to save for all of life's expenses without giving up retirement savings. Joey decided to join Russ, and they co-founded a company called Wealth Without Wall Street, where they teach people to stop trading time for money to achieve financial freedom by following the five pillars of wealth without Wall Street. Russ Morgan, aka the Idea Guy, started his career in the financial industry. With 4 years of planning under his belt, Russ was stunned in September of 2008 to see the Dow Jones plummet 800 points. He had no idea that the market could react in such a volatile manner and knew this was something he could never have control over. Russ began a journey that day to passionately understand more about how to take back and gain control over his money as well as that of his clients, and he now enlightens business owners and investors with the knowledge that the best path to financial freedom is one that frees you to make decisions that allow your money to grow, allow you to have access to this money, and to protect this money from market swings and tax regulations. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Russ Morgan and Joey Muir with Wealth Without Wall Street. Joey, Russ, welcome to the show.
Scott, thanks for having us, man. We're delighted.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Scott. Thank you for bringing us on.
Well, we've been looking to make this happen for a while now. I ran across you on another podcast and I've been following you for a while, looking at the site, pulling down some of the information you have, the great resources that you have on your website as well. But then also following, you know, with an eye towards some of the unique things that you're doing to raise capital and how you're really pouring into your tribe, the people that come to you, the community that you've built. So I want to touch on that in a moment, but if you would, you know, tell us a little bit about what you're up to and maybe fill in the gaps from what I may have left out during the bio.
Well, so Scott, I would say that Wealth Without Wall Street is ultimately a story of two morons, like these guys here, Russ and I, trying to figure out how to get to financial freedom. And we like to say, just like in our faith, that we're like two beggars just trying to tell the other beggars where the bread is. And that really just directs all that we do. So I was that guy that was in the mortgage business in the corporate world. And I was working as hard as I could because I had put in my mind that financial success, I wouldn't have even said it was financial freedom at the time, equaled a higher income. Like, oh man, you're making six figures or you're making 300,000. Like that is what financial success looks like. And unfortunately, once I got there, I looked around and I was lonely. My wife, my kids were the last people that I got to spend time with. And even when we were on vacation, I was that guy that had the phone just connected literally to my hip. And Russ always busts me about that, but I had this like holster for my phone. And I'd be like, hey, you guys go on down to the beach. I'll be down there in just a minute. I just got to take this one phone call. And I don't know if you can resonate with that or anybody that's listening, but man, my life was consumed with a job, with having to go to work. And I remember specifically reading a book that Russ shared with me back in 2009 that totally changed my whole view on what financial success looks like. And it was much more about taking back control and buying back my time. And once I started implementing those things, about 4 years later, I looked up and it was a dramatic transformation for our family, so much so that I was sitting at a conference and I felt this nudge that, man, more people need to know about this. Like, why are there not more people talking about financial freedom and how to get to the point where you're at? And I really literally felt like God said, why don't you do it? And I was sitting there making over $300,000 a year. My wife was pregnant with our fourth daughter at the time. And I told her, I said, hey, I feel like this is what God's telling me to do. Go full time into this. And she said, I think you should do it. And I was blown away. I was like, okay, there must be something to this. I talked to Russ, and shortly thereafter, we joined forces and started to get the word out that this is possible. Financial freedom is within reach, and you don't have to put it off until you have very little life left and hope that you have enough money to retire on. You can start living freely today. So that's kind of like in a nutshell what so we're all about.
So Scott, outside of my 9-year-old son, I only have one other person who looks at to me as a hero. And obviously you just heard from the other. It's basically what he said there.
I get it. That's exactly what I read into it as well, Russ. So good job. You set the bar high.
Well, here's the part of it is just like you and every one of us, we're always learning. We're learning each and every day. I think, you know, over the last couple of years, our focus has gotten really pointed toward what areas will create streams of income that require less and less of our help. How do we maximize the people around us? And you know, a pivotal moment for me, and many of us are probably at this position at some point, if you're not already past it, is making great money, right? Doing what we're doing and we're loving it, but yet we're still challenged with how do I take less time to do that thing, right? So for Joey, in that example, he was working in a job, and he was trying to figure out how to get out of that. Well, the next step is that then you start building these passive income streams. You start building these businesses that you're operating in. And while you love that and you're what we would say 100% in control of what's going on, the time is still happening, right? You're still spending the same amount of time. I remember one time a politician was on a local radio station and he was saying, you know, if you hire me, I'm going to change the way things are being done up in Washington. And I was like, go up there and do nothing, because the dollar comes out of my pocket the same exact way, right? You know, like regardless of the effort. Well, I think the same thing can be said about our time, is that we can spend time working for someone else, or we can spend time working for us. Now, we enjoy us better than others, but it's still time away. And I think that was a real, you know, pivotal moment several years for us back, where we had to get really clear of how are we going to not try to increase necessarily income exponentially where it requires us working exponentially, but how do we get other people working for us in all these roles and work as little as Joey does now, which is really now he's become my hero.
Well, I'm sure everybody, they may have missed a few of those things that you just now mentioned, Russ, because all they can think about now is what was the book? What was the book that you gave Joey to change his perspective and his outlook?
So the book was Becoming Your Own Banker by a guy named Nelson Nash. Mm-hmm. He has since passed, but he was, when I read the book for the first time was January 2009. He was in his early 70s. And the concept was basically how to control the flow of cash flow through your hands. And many of your audience has probably already read that book. It's become wildly mm-hmm. popular over the last 10 years, mm-hmm. not because we talk about it, but just because that's, I think it's very evident in today's marketplace that the biggest obstacle for us to become financially free is lack of access to money. And everything we've been taught up to this point is mm-hmm. to give away our access to money. And mm-hmm. that book was just a tool of how to stop investing in the 401ks and, you know, paying down every extra dollar we have free on our mortgages and all this stuff that then limit our abilities to take advantage of opportunities and deals that come around us, or not even see the deals because we don't have any money. So we don't even know to even think about what it would take to do the deal. And I shared that with Joey really several months after I read it, because I had been that typical financial planner. I was actually a certified financial planner at one point. I've since given up that designation because I don't really believe in what it stands for. But what I learned through that process is that teaching my clients to think for themselves created an amazing uproar and push to force me to even go faster than they did. Right. So I had to be one step in front of Joey. I refer to him as the stallion on our podcast. I had to be one step in front of him. And so I had to start doing things. And I love that accountability. And ultimately that accountability has led us to now publishing our own personal passive income report live every single month for people to see. And again, the reason to do it is more so to be one step in front of everybody else and to be forced to keep going faster.
Well, truth be told, Russ, it's probably the real reason why you gave up your designation, because I don't think any certified financial planner would ever divulge what their personal financial plan is, let alone share it with everybody and do it for free. So, yeah, let's be honest here. But, you know, everything. And I know a little bit about your guys' background, obviously not all of it. So I appreciate that. But I think, yes, that does resonate with me, Joey, as you mentioned. We become entrepreneurs and we chase real estate or investing passively to have that freedom to be able to not only have time for your family and to be able to, you know, pick your schedule, pick your vacations and do whatever we want to do. But some folks never get to that place, but even in the beginning, it is a grind. And then all of a sudden you poke your head up after several years later to recognize that you're still grinding and you missed out on some of those golden years. And I learned that, well, I think we could all say the lesson was too late and I spent too much time doing that. But fortunately recognized early on, my intervention was by way of Dan Sullivan and Strategic Coach, who helps entrepreneurs, you know, to break that pattern, because 24/7, 365 can obviously, you know, that's when we own our own business. You know, that's, we could be doing emails Christmas morning before the kids get up, because that's what business owners, you know, can do, unless we step in and recognize and take a look back and say, hey, this isn't what I got into this for, and there is a better way, and we don't have to do it the way that everybody else has told us to do it, like, as you mentioned, Russ. So, Russ, you're a good friend, and Joey, you're a quick learner, and that's why you guys are here. So, yeah, tell us about then the genesis of Wealth Without Wall Street, because that clearly is, and I appreciate you sharing your faith as well, because that's, you know, we are servants at the end of the day, and our businesses need to serve people. And so it looks, if you know, everything front to back from what I see that you guys are doing is truly meant to serve passive investors that have that same passion to have the life that you guys have created and are creating. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, totally. The most common saying is to live a life on purpose, right? With a plan, be designed in what you're doing and not let it just happen. I think that Joey and I have built our business and our families, our business around our family. So we have a lot of kids. He has 5, I have 4. It's the only thing I think he's ever beat me in other than foosball. But we homeschool our families. We travel a lot with them. So our business is needed to support that. So really, again, the genesis behind Wealth Without Wall Street was he and I thinking through a process that where we could teach people across the world, if you will, the things that we were doing. So I came out of a typical financial planner office where I would meet people at the typical places, right? The networking functions, the churches, the medical and dental schools. And we decided that wasn't a really good way to communicate with people and to be able to get a message that we believe was really important enough to let Joey leave a job that he'd been really successful in. And so we got online and started teaching back in 2015, 2016, which, you know, we're not smart enough to realize that our podcast was going to be what it ultimately became. But we had a young guy in our office at the time that was listening to podcasts. He showed Joey and I how to open it on our flip phones and listen to our own. And then we started teaching the people that we had been working with for up to that point, just, okay, we'll have a weekly conversation with them. And that weekly conversation ultimately grew to 2 conversations a week and ultimately grew to where now, you know, our podcasts and the people listening to it are all over the place. And we've built an audience and a community out of that, Scott, which is really probably our most prized possession that we have, is that we decided a long time ago to get off the social media channels, to take the political rhetoric, take the cat memes and stuff out of the feed, and only focus on things that were focused toward getting us closer to financial freedom. And I know your audience knows this, but sometimes that word is too often thrown around, but not necessarily defined. And we say that financial freedom, the formula to achieve it is easy, but the work to accomplish it is hard. And the formula is simply passive income greater than monthly expenses. And, you know, Wealth Without Wall Street had always kind of served people, helping them think through financially where their dollars were going, better places. You know, the book Becoming Your Own Banker has been a staple in our business, but then teaching them, how do we create those streams of income, showing them. And even more importantly, has then evolved to saying, okay, yes, you know, Scott is great at self-storage. Joey, well, we still have to figure out what Joey's good at, but there's some things that he does with Russ that it ends up working out, whether it's short-term rental or land flipping or this crypto mining thing, all of that stuff that was Russ's idea that he was able to take advantage of.
Okay.
Those things are great ideas, but is that really for me? And so we actually decided, hey, instead of leading people down a pathway that could be to failure, right? If they're not gifted toward those things, then maybe we should help them create a, what we call an investor DNA, to assess themselves, to determine what would be those pros and cons that they would really resonate with, and match them more specifically to the things that they're doing, not from a risk tolerance standpoint like the Wall Street world works with, but more in just commonality to the natural giftings that they've had since they were 5 or 6 years old. And that's kind of where the story arc, if you will, of Wealth Without Wall Street has gone, is where we're now showing people not only what we're doing, but ultimately helping them find out how they can become a better investor, increasing their knowledge as an investor, so then ultimately they can have exponential growth on those investments.
And, you know, one of the things that we had touched on prior to getting on the air live here was some of those areas in which you're, you know, expanding into, and other areas that you're looking into, to, as you're exploring your own DNA, as well as those of others. And, you know, we have a mastermind. We are looking for different venues and other places where we can hold events. And for many folks, that if you have any sort of small or large seminar, conference, mastermind, you know, you had a tough time in 2020 being able to gather anywhere. You know, we had a live event that we hold on a regular basis, and to go to a hotel, they said, well, you know, you're going to have to rent out, you know, a stadium to be able to get social distancing for 6 feet for that many people. And it's going to cost you X amount of dollars. And we decided that, well, we're going to go a different route. And, you know, we're going to try a short-term rental or an executive type rental where, you know, we can get 40 people in a room and not have to, you know, beholden to those rules and laws, and be able to do what we've always been able to do. And so it sounds like you found that need as well for some of the folks in your group, and that may even turn into another side gig or another main gig in addition to everything else that you're doing. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the most recent thing that we've been working on, to your point, is that we have had a lot of success in the short-term rental business, just taking, for the most part, a rental arbitrage model where we rent out a unit, whether it be an apartment or a condo or something along those lines, from an existing landlord on a long-term lease. And then we short-term put those on Airbnb, booking.com, VRBO, things like that, and just make the difference, right? The difference between what we're paying out in a lease and what we can gain on a nightly or weekly rental. And so we've built that model up to 25, 26 units now in the last 18 months. And subsequently, recently, we had our passive income mastermind in one of those Airbnb larger homes in Franklin, Tennessee. And we said, man, we got to do this in Birmingham. And so we've just identified a property, and we are in the process now of getting it under contract and going through the due diligence to make sure that we can then implement this in Birmingham and see where that leads. So that's an exciting kind of on the front edge or cusp of what we're looking at expanding into 2022.
What I love about what you said too, Scott, is that this creates flexibility for people who do want to have events, and it provides comfort in the future that if the major venues or even some of the smaller venues that they want to do stuff at don't allow for it, that these sort of things are popping up, right? We're living in a shared economy already, right? Most of us have already staying in an Airbnb or VRBO when we travel at this point. Some of us are even starting to use Turo, right? We all probably have used Uber several times in the cities that we travel. Well, now the thought of being able to use these as a place for small weddings, you know, for receptions for weddings, for the corporate retreat, like you just talked about, or the mastermind that Joey mentioned, all of that now is becoming a newer thing, but it's becoming that area where my wife, who's a dentist by trade, tells me, Russ, there's 25% of the population are never going to go back into hotels because they already were germaphobes before COVID. Mm-hmm. And now it's just been accentuated. They just said, okay, never again. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why our operator for our units tell us that, you know, three out of five inquiries is asking about, you know, is there shared hallways? What is our, cleaning protocol? They're asking the questions. They're reaffirming the fact that the reason they're coming to us is because they don't want to be in an environment where they're having to maybe be in an elevator with four other people. They just have gotten that, you know, cautious, if you will. And that's just created our already booming business. Airbnb is like crazy how it continues to grow in itself. And it's become that marketing engine for the business that we have now just tapped into and seeing it just meteorically rise.
Mm-hmm. So, Russ, I think you've clearly laid out that in EOS traction terms, which most of our tribe follows, Gina Wickman, that you are the visionary and Joey is the integrator. So that being said, for both of you, just kidding, Joey, for both of you, tell us about, I think most entrepreneurs, you know, if there isn't something available in the marketplace that we need or want, then we create it. I mean, that's how so many businesses are born. And so as you kind of look across the landscape, fair to say you're both opportunistic because you're entrepreneurs and you're investors. But tell us, what goes into the process of, you know, really pulling the thread on an idea that comes into your mind or, you know, something that, a vision that God gave you to go pursue, you know, this course or that course. Is that a whiteboard session with the two of you? You know, how does some land on the desk and others fall into the wastebasket? Tell us a little bit about, you know, how you explore the different opportunities out there and then what it looks like when you decide to go full bore and straight ahead 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I would say that it usually is a whiteboard session with Russ and I. Russ is completely, he cannot do anything without seeing it drawn out. It's like, I have to get out crayons and it's the whole thing. But the point that I'll make to the way others can apply this as well is what we've learned over the time of working together is one, if the idea or opportunity requires more time for us, it's a no. It doesn't matter how big the opportunity is, if it's going to require us to give up what we've worked so hard to gain, which is hours that are precious to our family and to serving others, we're just not going to do it. So we got really clear on what our quote unquote buy box is. If it's something we can put an operator in place fairly easily and we can grow a business, then we're going to very much look at that. Has to be super passive. And then it has to line up with our investor DNA, as Russ was saying. And I'm applying this to our process. So when people engage with us, they go through a GPS process. The first is goal. Like if they get clear on their goal, then they can apply the investment to that. If you do it the opposite way, you very frequently screw things up because you get caught up in interest rates or rate of returns and all these sort of things. And you miss the idea that, man, it could not be lined up with who I am. And that's where you start making mistakes. So get clear on your goal. Then you have the plan. And that's where you apply your investor DNA. That's where you apply where's the cash going to come from. And then you get the support in the last step. But for our process, we get clear on what we want it to do. Like if it's going to take less time And then we apply it to how is this going to continue to grow that passive income side for us? And can we then scale it from there? So those are, I mean, that's kind of a really quick overview, but that's what I would say we focus on.
You know how this process goes. I love that you referenced Gino Wickman. I love the book Rocket Fuel. And I wouldn't say that Joey is the implementer integrator. That's not perfectly his style, but he's closer to that than I am. And we both provide that visionary, you know, gas pedal to our businesses. But I think what we have done to help us is that we have paid a lot of money to have consultants and people in our life that will help speak into those situations and you know, mentors and private consultants that you can go and bring a deal to and talk about the scenario. And like Joey said, ultimately, a lot of times it comes back to, is it going to require more of your time? And they remind us of those things. And we go, oh, okay. Well, just like the short-term rental space, when we first heard about this, you know, 30 months ago, or whatever it was, got super excited, started going down the route. And we got to somebody and we're writing my $20,000 check to be able to start learning it and applying. And they said, you guys aren't going to do this. I don't want to take your money. I'm like, what do you mean we're not going to do it? We're absolutely going to do this. I said I was going to do it. I'm going to do it. And he's like, you don't have time to do this. You guys have no time in order to make this happen. I know everything about your businesses and you don't have time. There's no way. And we go, oh, how much time does it take? And he started telling us like, oh yeah, we don't have time. All right, give me 1 second. And then, you know, within 2 weeks, we had already hired an operator for the business, created a vision for the operator of how he was going to be running this business. It was going to be at least 15 units. That was what our original goal was. We hit 25 in that time frame. But here's how we're going to scale it. Here's how you're going to manage it. Here's how you're going to be able to start your own as a process. And we created the vision and went back to the guy and said, hey, all right, we're going to buy the course. I told you I didn't want to take your money. I said, no, we got somebody else who's going to do it for us. And then they were taking notes from us. Like, well, how did you do that? Because they hadn't even considered that. That's where Joey and I, we do spend time thinking through those ideas. If we have any gifts, which is few, it's coming up with something completely different than what everybody else has created, because we definitely want to spend less time in the business itself. And thankfully so, because our main business, Wealth Without Wall Street, what we do to help people, it requires only 2 or 3% of our effort. Thankfully, our team has built out a process that really executes way better than he and I did when we were just individuals meeting with people one-on-one.
They're much stronger implementers, to your point, Scott. Mm-hmm. Everybody that we hire has a really high follow-through, and we're always amazed at that.
And the tool, I would say this is a little tool that you probably know about, but if you're not, this is a great one. It's called Culture Index. You familiar with that, yep, Scott?
Correct. Yes.
That tool has been great for us. It's amazing how almost every role that we hire for is an architect or a tech expert, because they have vision, but they also have amazing follow through and they love to go fast. And it just, that profile and personality fit very well with us, because we can give them an idea that they already know that they can improve upon, and they'll want to do it as fast as we want them to, but then they will actually implement. They'll actually follow through where Joey and I would, you know, forgot about it and moved on to the next one.
And that's the toughest part. You know, Jim Hoffman once said that ideas are welcome, but execution is worshipped around our organization. And there's so much truth to that, because, you know, from reading 4DX, you know, 4 disciplines of execution and, you know, everything else, you know, there's a lot of ideas that get thrown around by the visionary and folks in our organization. But if we don't execute it, then, you know, we all know what happens. It means nothing happens. And so it is difficult to find those individuals. You know, I don't want to turn this into a hiring piece, but that is one of the, I guess, the major challenges until we got to the place where we were hiring based upon Culture Index. I mean, we looked at, you know, everything else from Myers-Briggs to, you know, look at Enneagrams and, you know, going through Traction, recognizing that we need to hire on our core values, first of all. And so there has to be an alignment there. And so then Predictive Index, which then led us to Culture Index. And I think we're finally hitting our stride now. So each one of those hires has to, they don't necessarily have to generate ideas. They just need to get it, have the capacity to do it. But high capacity execution is what we're looking for in those folks. And that's a rare breed, as you mentioned, you know, the architects and the with the engineering type bent, but then also can go out and get it done. So kudos to you for finding out those folks, because it's rare. One of the other pieces that I wanted to touch on is, you know, you've built a tribe that may be a little bit different than others. I would say, if it's even a traditional model, in our organization, you know, we started out investing in self-storage years ago, and then started teaching people about it as people started to look at what our organization was doing and what I was doing. I was the head of some real estate investment groups, and then getting asked to speak and write articles. And so our education business was born out of our investment business. And then, as you mentioned, you know, your growth is only limited to the amount of cash that you have, and we didn't want to lose any deals that came across our desk. So we had to get really good at bringing along partners that also shared our enthusiasm for self-storage and recognize that as a vehicle to achieve financial freedom, however you define it. And so there's how our tribe of equity partners and people that come alongside of us and invest in our projects with us, you know, that was the genesis of how this was, it was born on our end. So yours seems to be a little bit different in that you, there's maybe a little more of a qualifier to, you know, have them take a step back and say, okay, well, you might like what we're doing right now, but we want to find out just exactly what it is that you're interested in. And so you're testing them on the front end, or at least setting up a profile so that you can guide them a little bit better. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how that came about. Was that from the beginning, or was that from trial and error where you realized that you needed to or wanted to build something different? How did you get started taking that approach, which seems to be some vastly different than other folks?
It definitely is, just like everything else that we do, Russ and I, is trial and error, emphasis on the error first. But if you listen to our passive income report, you will know that I have bought into a drop shipping business called 100unicorns.com that was a massive failure. And the reason was because I didn't consider who I am as an investment. I got caught up in the actual investment being, oh man, e-com, this is the kind of space that everything's going. And oh, by the way, it's something I could teach my daughters, because they'll be all fired up about unicorns and, you know, this would be great. And I get in, and one, it's super technical in setting up the website and making sure that all the things are connected on the back end from suppliers and so on. And it was a nightmare. It just totally failed. Things like that. We have multiple stories of realizing that, man, the investment is not nearly as important as the investor. And so giving people exposure is a blessing and a curse, is what we found, right? Our podcast is going to give you ridiculous amount of ideas. But then if you don't get clear on who you are and what your goal is, it doesn't matter. Like, you're going to get overwhelmed, and or you're going to go down the path that's really not meant to serve your ultimate goal. And so I guess that's a long way of saying we had to figure out, okay, who are you as an investor to help guide people down a path that would get them to financial freedom as fast as possible? Like, we want people's stories like to continue to be perpetuated in our community where, man, 18 months ago, I had no idea what I was doing. And now my wife can stay home from being a nurse to raise our three kids because we've created $15,000 a month in land flipping. Like, whoa, like that's when somebody got really clear and started putting some effort towards the right direction, and bang, they see the result. Or a school teacher that's now free of her job that she wasn't enjoying, didn't wanted to move on, but didn't have a way out, getting clear on that. And literally in 24 months, being able to say, I'm not coming back in the fall. Like, those are the kind of stories we want to continue to perpetuate. And the process was necessary to build to get people those results.
I heard your question, and I apologize if I'm mistakenly heard it, but you were talking about our audience as a syndicate, like us syndicating deals. And so I do want to clarify that, because we do have some private groups that we work in that we do, in essence, pull together the deals, but we go into partnerships with them in those specific deals. As a whole, our group is, we're teaching them. We're trying to help them become better investors. People don't necessarily come into our sphere and then try to invest in the deals. At least that's not the way that we we put it together. Now we do have a passive income mastermind. We call it, you know, the 200% club, where people are trying to get 200% of their monthly expenses through passive income. And there's deals being done together in those groups, but they're all individual LLCs and partnerships. We're putting together a deal right now with some of those guys with this property that we're buying. And those are specific things that we have intimate relationships, already prearranged agreements, and we keep it small like that on purpose. One, because we're not smart enough to figure out how to do it on a bigger way like you are. and we would love to simplify our life within that without complicating it. Now, that's not to be said that at some point in time, we don't end up doing that because we get that bug or itch to try to prove it to ourselves that we can. But as a whole, our group is, we're just teaching and equipping them to go out and do it on their own. And then ultimately, there are situations on an individual basis where we end up doing some deals with some of the people in the group.
We're pretty much cut from the same mold in that I don't want to do anything that creates more another job within my business for myself. And so we try to keep it as simple as well. And that was never the goal, is to raise a group of people so that we can go out and do more deals together. Right now, as a matter of fact, we're looking to scale back on the amount of transactions. And you know, we've started a fund, but we're doing larger deals. So portfolios or larger developments. So we're actually doing fewer deals because it takes roughly the same amount of work as it does to do one big deal as it does to do three or four that are the same size in terms of dollar amount for that. So that was never our goal. But what we've realized along the way is that the more people that are following what we're doing, that we're teaching and helping and empowering for them to get across the finish line on their own deals, then that provides some opportunities for us to do business in the future on those bigger deals when they now have a little bit of wind at their back and in their sail, and they're finding bigger deals and more projects that we can share with the community or that we can invest in on a selective basis that, you know, that just continues to perpetuate itself. And there is strength in numbers and economies of scale that is gained by having folks that we're teaching, that are investing the ways that we do. And first of all, that share, again, our moral compass and our values. Those are the folks that are really closest to us in our mastermind. But even at the other levels within our organization and our tribe, if you will, I think it's a pretty darn good group of people that we'd like to do business with. So the other direction that I'd like to take this in is, edit point, Richie. There was another question that I was going to ask you guys, and I can't remember exactly what that was now off the top of my head. I had a few written down. It was...
Russ doesn't use any specific sort of hair product, if that was what you're going to ask.
Is
that
right? That was it. Okay, ready? Richie, here we go. 3, 2. gosh, darn, it was something you touched on. I'm trying not to turn this into a commercial as to how we're so much alike, but... You know, we do a lot of mission work as well. We just got back from the mission field and we're trying to do the same things to, you know, empower our folks to create a life that makes room and time for that. But I don't want to sound like a broken record. Yeah, there was a question around it and I can't remember what it was now. So doggone it. Sorry, professional interviewer here, right? Okay.
We've never had that sort of brain fog. No worries.
Oh my gosh. Well, you've taken me in a different direction than we normally do, which is the usual businesses. So, okay, here we go, Richie. 3, 2, 1. Well, Joey and Russ, as we are coming to the end of our time here, you know, one of the reasons why we created our tribe to begin with, we had an education business, we have an investing business, and both of them are 60 hour a week businesses. So the last thing that we wanted to do is, again, create more, putting things more on our plate. But what we were passionate about in the beginning when my wife and I started this business was that we wanted to be able to not only share in the experiences and some of the bonehead moves that this knucklehead made in his investing career, but also, you know, we have a passion for, we also homeschool our kids and we wanted to raise them and take them different places. And that was onto the mission field and to be able to have time to be able to do so. And that's why we got into real estate and self-storage, is to have that time and that freedom and to have the cash flow to be able to do so. So with that in mind, you know, share a little bit about maybe some of your own personal stories or some of the other stories when those folks that you have helped have gotten to the place, you know, they're in the 200 club, as you mentioned it, where their expenses are taken care of. Maybe one or both wage earners are at home and now they're doing greater things for themselves, for others, for the kingdom, whatever that might look like. Any stories that stick out that you've been able to experience or, you know, had a hand in that you'd like to share?
So I'm going to keep it a little bit more general in nature to say one of the things that drives Russ and I every day is that one of the major things standing in the way of people being used in the capacity that God created them, like to their maximum use, if you will, their ability to serve, is to get them out of financial prison. Right. There are people, in fact, I was talking to my daughters this morning about how the world will tell us that we all need to keep working and just we need to give our money away and to access it and all that sort of thing. And we just have to keep on this hamster wheel of living just above, just below our means and just kind of survive. But when you create a margin in both the amount of money that you make and that you spend, and then you gain this passive income, it opens up worlds that would have never been available to you before. And what I mean by that is it kind of goes along with our investor DNA to say God created you to be a very specific person with very specific strengths and very specific weaknesses. And when you can really operate in those, it's super fulfilling to yourself, but also to the ultimate mission that God has put us on this earth to give him glory. And so anyways, all that being said, I think that's the overarching theme that drives us to say people are typically in financial prison and they either don't know it or they realize it and they don't know a way out. So how can we create that? How can we give people a means to get to that end and then see the results that come from it? And I think for Russ and I have a really heavy burden right now just to disciple and to grow my daughters into the young women that they need to become to then, you know, be a part of that overall mission. And it's very time consuming when you have five daughters who homeschool. I'm constantly helping them with math or, you know, reading or piano. One of my daughters takes piano. Anyway, those are the extracurricular activities that I focus on currently. But Russ, what would you add to that?
Well, I would say just more specific to the question. Joey doesn't listen to questions very well. I apologize, Scott, for him always derailing. But the question that you asked was a specific story or specific stories that people deal with. Well, I think that they fall into two categories first. One, when people reach a point where their passive income equals or exceeds their monthly expenses, it's either providing them a level of financial security that they have been seeking, that their job or business or whatever they're in didn't provide, right? Like we're always, up until that point, sometimes even us as entrepreneurs wondering, like, when will the other thing happen, right? You know, are we about to see the next crash? And how is that going to ultimately trickle down to my area of expertise and what I'm in? So it provides either financial security or the second thing, which I do think what Joey was answering, I just love to bust his chops, is providing time. So, there's one of our guys that's in our mastermind is an amazing musician. It's somebody who's been uber successful. You've heard his stuff. And he had these royalties coming in and was provided an opportunity to sell them for a lump sum. But he came to us and said, but what would I do with this? You know, like this does provide some level of security. But the problem is, I don't know how long people will keep buying my music, right? And using my music for TV shows and movies and stuff like that. So it could go away. So what would I do? And so we talked about the numerous different things that he could, you know, start replacing that royalty income with. And when he did that, it was that financial security place. Like he ultimately came to us and said, I now have the ability to create more music because I want to do it again. He's like, but I'm so excited now that I've got three or four different streams of income. He created a big rental portfolio. He created some syndication funds and ATMs and multifamily and so forth and so on. And he was like, now I feel freed up because I don't have to worry about that burden, right? And what I love about that is that then gives him the ability to do cool stuff that we can all participate in and enjoy because That's what those sort of gifted people do. On the other side is the person who's looking for that time freedom, that they literally can walk away from their job and go pursue new ventures. And that may be to create new businesses. And I think of that. That's the way I'm get built, is I think of how can I create something new? And then ultimately, how many new jobs can be built out of that? That's the way to give back. Or how many more people can we put in the mission field? How many more missionaries can we support? How many more things can we do? Joey shared this with me the other day, is just thinking through the amount of money that we're able to give now and the multiples that it is from where our first job was, how much money we made in our first job when we were out of college. We're now giving multiples of that away in the mission field. And we hear those kind of stories, people creating foundations and supporting organizations and institutions like that, trying to be, you know, kingdom-minded, but also then building legacies that will way outlast their future. We have one of our guys in our group. He was sharing with us his 100-year plan, which I just think is amazing, right? Like, that's just stuff that creates ripple effects for years and years, way past when we're here.
Yeah. And in case somebody isn't tracking there, what Russ said, when a person sits down to create a 100-year plan, it isn't because they feel like they're going to live to 120 or 130. It means that they are building a legacy, and they want to make sure that their family is taken care of, and it's something that lasts beyond them. So that's awesome. That's good stuff. Well, guys, before my last question, there's a whole lot of folks that I'm sure want to be able to catch a little bit of fire that you guys have. So what is the best way for them to be able to follow you, to learn a little bit more about what you're doing? Where should they go?
Yeah, the best entry into our world is go to wealthaboutwallstreet.com/passport. And that gives you a free entry into that community we were just talking about. That's where Joey and I spend all of our time and effort. When you get in there, you have the ability to DM us, just like other social medias, if you will, and just let us know that you heard us on this podcast. We'd love to be able to interact with you in there, but also it also is the place, the passport is that first step in our process, the goal, the G that Joey referred to a second ago. So you could go to courses once you're in there, and it's a free course, and it will give you at the end of it, a real clear, crystal clear vision of what you want your life to look like. And it's not generically put together. It's tailor-made for you to follow through. And we'd love for you to do that. And then just share yours. Once you got your passport, share it with us inside the group.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, you know, Rusty, you had mentioned, I think, or perhaps it was Joey, you talk about the folks that, you know, they get to that place where, you know, they really don't know that they have hope. They're stuck in this financial jail that they just don't know that there's anything else. They're lost in the grind. They don't know they're in financial bondage, and then they don't know how to get out of it. What type of advice do you give, or how do you speak into the lives of those people that you know, want that hope? They want to be able to get out. I think it starts with self-awareness. How do you approach them, and what is it that you can, you know, spurring them to be able to go down that path of self-awareness and giving them that hope, and then beginning those steps and even the courage to take that first step to get out of the bondage that they're in?
If it's okay, I want to use just an example from somebody that was in our community the other day. It's somebody it's amazing. If you give me 3 seconds, I'll pull up her little bio. But she's super open to share this inside of our community on a regular basis. But here's her introduction. It says, "Hi, my life fell apart in 2019 and 2020. Ugly story, moving on through God's providence, very thin threads. I found my way into IBC and Wall Street. Really excited." I'm sorry, she adjusted it recently, but she talked about this, and her whole motto is climbing up from zero, aiming for the stars. But I thought it was still there. She must have went back and tweaked it a little bit. But she talked about how she had really hit zero and had no motivation to move forward. And somebody pointed her into our community. And now she has this new lease on life. It's basically I'm paraphrasing the way she said it. And it's because she went through that passport thing I just talked about. I think that you know, cliche to say we should have a vision board or a goal for our life or a vision for our life, but it's another thing to actually do it. I think very few people do follow through and actually do that. And so we built this specifically for people to go through and figure out, what do they want? What do they want to do? Who should they become? Who do they need to become? And what will it look like when they get there? And we challenge them through this process. And that was one of the things this lady had done. And she actually went back and like started like broadcasting it in our community. And I'm picking on her because she's just been that just most recent light blinking in there, just reminding people that no matter how bad the scenario, and I think her husband had passed unexpectedly and just everything had fallen to shambles after that. But then like going back and doing that self-awareness, going back and creating a vision and then having some practical process and steps to follow to get out of it, just to know that where you are is where you're supposed to be, right? The Bible refers to that our sufferings produces endurance, right? Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And we're in this area for a specific reason. It's not chance. And as we work through it, we can come out on the other side in a reformed shape, if you will.
Yep. Certainly don't believe in chance or coincidence. And the challenges that we all go through are just they're shaping us and molding us and forcing us to look in a different direction. So appreciate that, guys. Well, Joey, since you are an avid reader of the books that Russ sends over to you, our last question is either perhaps your most your favorite book, if you will, if you could nail it down to just one, or what is the book that you give away the most or recommend the most to folks?
So I think as a foundational kind of duo, if you will, is it's because I think, to your point, people don't even realize that they're in financial bondage or that there's something different than what they have currently. Like they just kind of accepted it. The two books back to back are always going to be Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Become Your Own Banker by Nelson Nash. When you combine those two, it's like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
They ultimately feed each other and they ultimately show people a way that didn't exist before. And, they do it much better than I could do. So I just pass that over to them typically. And I try to read them myself once a year each. So it definitely is powerful.
Yep. I would agree. And the best way then as a follow-up to provide that hope for folks is to keep doing what you guys are doing, because people can read a book, they can hear about it, but when they can look to the success and the lives that you guys have created and how you're helping others, when they see those testimonials, if you will, case studies, the proof, then that is what gets people on board, when they can see that somebody else has done it. You know, the social proof, that is what finally gets people motivated to recognize that they can do it. So I applaud you both for stepping up and recognizing that and then doubling down and building the tribe that you've done and giving back in such a great way. So thankful to have you guys as friends. Thankful to have you on the podcast. And I look forward to the time when we can chat again. We will definitely have you back for number two.
All right. Thank you, Scott, awesome, for having us on. And we've got to have you on our show soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Hey, gang. Wait, three things before you leave. First, don't forget to follow the Self Storage Podcast and turn on your notification so you never miss another episode. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review if you like the show. Second, be sure to share your favorite episodes and more via Instagram. And don't forget to tag us. And lastly, head to the links in the show description and hit follow on Twitter and Facebook to get a front row seat as we grow and scale our business and bring you along with us.